Chapter 2. The Record of the Rocks. First, the first living things, and second, how old is the world? First. We don't know how life began upon the earth. Biologists, that's to say students of life, have made guesses about these beginnings, but we'll not discuss them here. Let's only note that they all agree that life began where the tides of those swift days spread and receded over the steaming beaches of mud and sand. The atmosphere was much denser then. Usually great cloud masses obscured the sun. Frequent storms darkened the heavens. The land of those days, upheaved by violent volcanic forces, was a barren land without vegetation, without soil. The almost incessant rainstorms swept down upon it, and rivers and torrents carried great loads of sediment out to sea to become muds that hardened later into slates and shales and sands that became sandstones. The geologists have studied the whole accumulation of these sediments as it remains today, from those of the earliest ages to the most recent. Of course, the oldest deposits are the most distorted and changed and worn, and in them there is now no certain trace to be found of life at all. Probably the earliest forms of life were small and soft, leaving no evidence of their existence behind them. It was only when some of these living things developed skeletons and shells of lime and such like hard material that they left fossil vestiges after they died and so put themselves on record for examination. The literature of geology is very largely an account of the fossils that are found in the rocks, and of the order in which layers after layers of rocks lie one on another. The very oldest rocks must have been formed before there was any sea at all, when the earth was too hot for a sea to exist, and when the water that's now sea was an atmosphere of steam mixed with the air. Its higher levels were dense with clouds, from which a hot rain fell towards the rocks below to be converted again into steam long before it reached their incandescence. Below this steam atmosphere, the molten world stuff solidified as the first rocks. These first rocks must have solidified as a cake over glowing liquid material beneath, such as cooling lava does. They must have appeared first as crusts and clinkers. They must have been constantly remelted and recrystallized before any thickness of them became permanently solid. The name of fundamental gneiss is given to a great underlying system of crystalline rocks, which probably formed age by age as this hot youth of the world drew to its close. The scenery of the world in the days when the fundamental gneiss was formed must have been more like the interior of a furnace than anything else to be found upon Earth at the present time. After long ages, the steam in the atmosphere began also to condense and fall right down to Earth, pouring at last over these warm primordial rocks in rivulets of hot water, and gathering in depressions as pools and lakes, and the first seas. Into those seas, the streams that poured over the rocks brought with them dust and particles to form a sediment. And this sediment accumulated in layers, or, as geologists call them, strata, and formed the first sedimentary rocks. Those earliest sedimentary rocks sank into depressions and were covered by others. They were bent, tilted up, and torn by great volcanic disturbances and by tidal strains that swept through the rocky crust of the earth. We find these first sedimentary rocks still coming to the surface of the land, here and there, either not covered by later strata or exposed after vast ages of concealment by the wearing off of the rock that covered them later. There are great surfaces of them, in Canada especially. They're cleft and bent, partially remelted, recrystallized, hardened and compressed, but recognizable for what they are. And they contain no single certain trace of life at all. They're frequently called azoic, lifeless rocks. But since in some of these earliest sedimentary rocks a substance called graphite, black lead, occurs, and also red and black oxide of iron, and since it's asserted that these substances need the activity of living things for their production, which may or may not be the case, Some geologists prefer to call these earliest sedimentary rocks Archaeozoic, primordial life. They suppose that the first life was soft, living matter that had no shells or skeletons or any such structure that could remain as a recognizable fossil after its death, and that its chemical influence caused the deposition of graphite and iron oxide. This is pure guessing, of course, and there is at least an equal probability that in the time of formation of the Azoic rocks, life hadn't yet begun. Overlying or overlapping these Azoic or Archaeozoic rocks come others, manifestly also very ancient and worn, which do contain traces of life. These first remains are of the simplest description. They're the vestiges of simple plants called algae, or marks like the tracks made by worms in the sea mud. There are also the skeletons of the microscopic creatures called radiolaria. This second series of rocks is called the Proterozoic, beginning of life series, and marks a long age in the world history. Lying over and above the Proterozoic rocks is a third series, which is found to contain a considerable number and variety of traces of living things. First comes the evidence of a diversity of shellfish, crabs and such like crawling things, worms, seaweeds and the like. Then of a multitude of fishes and of the beginnings of land plants and land creatures. These rocks are called the Paleozoic, ancient life rocks. They mark a vast era during which life was slowly spreading, increasing and developing in the seas of our world. Through long ages, through the earliest Paleozoic time, it was no more than a proliferation of such swimming and creeping things in the water. There were creatures called trilobites. They were crawling things like big sea woodlice that were probably related to the American king crab of today. There were also sea scorpions, the prefects of that early world. The individuals of certain species of these were 9 feet long. These were the very highest sorts of life. There were abundant different sorts of an order of shellfish called brachiopods. There were plant animals rooted and joined together like plants, and loose weeds that waved in the waters.